It's the Shy State Pod, and Sam Brief here with you and with the WAC Coach of the Year, Tony Trifonov. Chicago State's head volleyball coach has won a Conference Coach of the Year honor at every stop in his career. Think about that. You coach for almost three decades in one sport, and every stop along the way, he's been told by the conference he's in, hey, you're the best coach we got. I mean, that pretty cool feather in the cap, but it's not about him because he's a team guy and he built a really special team this year and is building still brick by brick, right? This program, Chicago State Volleyball, which in 2021 set a Division I program record, 17 wins, by far the most for a Chicago State Volleyball team. Previous record was 12. They smashed it this year in a season that featured the conference player of the year and the program's first ever All-American. That's Yanlis Feliz, a second-year outside hitter who lit it up. That I'm talking thunder. I mean, I was there for every home match. I'm talking thunder from the outside that makes you shudder. Just startle you. Yanlis was incredible. This squad won 17 games. They went to Grand Canyon, snapped a 20-match home win streak down in Phoenix. They took down a Big Ten team in Indiana early in the season. It was a special year for Chicago State volleyball, so what better time than the holiday season to refresh, reset, and reflect with the head coach, the WAC Coach of the Year, Tony Trifonov. And a reminder, as always, that our partners at BSN Sports are the largest providers of team sports equipment and apparel in the country, and they'd like to thank all the coaches out there who truly are the heart of the game. While BSN Sports is the best at equipping athletes, coaches are the best at equipping lives. And that's the real final score. Learn more about how BSN Sports can save you time off the field by giving you more time to impact lives on it. Just call your local BSN Sports sales pro or visit bsnsports.com today. And now, here's Coach.
Trying to just finally decompress a little bit after a season. You know, it's been it's a tough year for everyone, you know, like with everything that is going on in the world. You know, obviously we had a lot of success, you know, culminated with attending this week's Final Four. It was a tremendous experience. It was a tremendous leap forward for our sport, our fans, and for collegiate volleyball overall. It was amazing. So, you know, like holidays are coming up. Finally, we're trying to let our hair down a little bit. In my case, my beard down. you know, free. Like get a break and just relax a little bit. We're in a stressful profession. It was in every season. It's a stressful season. It takes a lot out of you, especially if you're in a competitive conference, which the WAC was this year, especially the West Division, which we're in, you know, like and making it to postseason. I mean, you know, like it's not all, you know, rosy, like as we presented to be with like the most successful season ever in the program history. Of course, it's great. But, you know, like with sports and college athletics, you're always looking forward to the next year. So now since this one is officially done yesterday with the national championship, you know, like we're looking forward to the next season.
So I know you're looking forward, but would you mind if for the next half hour or at least the next little bit, I ask you some questions about the past?
Sure.
Because I'm a past guy right now, because the past was pretty awesome for your program. You came in, it's your second season at Chicago State. In your first season, you were able to get the first win in postseason play for the program. And then in your second season, it just exploded. What do you think was the biggest key behind what really was such a historic season?
Well, I mean, we're finally had a full team, you know, our first so-called season, you know, like which is a COVID season, a shortened season, and a spring unusual season for women's volleyball. It really, you know, like, I mean, it wasn't a full season. And, you know, we didn't have a setter on the roster. And it was very difficult at that level to win without a true setter. I mean, obviously Grace, did a great job for us in that first season, but you know, like it's not like having a real setter on the roster and running your team and the offense. And this year we had two that were pretty good with Jacqueline Inclán and Eche Ostna. So, you know, like, I mean, I would say that this would be one of the main reasons. Another one is players just developed, You know, like, I mean, and we had an opportunity to work in the spring, and then a lot, I mean, meaning we went through almost like a full practice schedule, even though the travel schedule was like a little bit more, you know, compressed, and we played very few games, but we didn't have that long of a break. Usually in a normal season, you would end competing in December, and then, you know, like, you're not going to really compete until August of next year, which wasn't the case now. I mean, we completed our season the beginning of April, and then, you know, like, we're back at it again in the gym in the beginning of August, obviously with the end of August first tournament. So a lot of factors played into it. We still have a very young team. We're returning a lot of kids, only three seniors, obviously, that we're not bringing back. So difficult to go through a season like that with a very young team, and it showed in the beginning of the season. I mean, we lost some games probably that we wouldn't have lost towards the middle of the end of the season. I mean, you know, like, confidence is a factor when you have kids that haven't played together and haven't won together, getting used to their positions, the coaching style, and everything else. So, you know, like, as expected and as planned, this team developed as the season went along. We got better and better and better. So from week one until the last week of the season, was a tremendous improvement in all areas of our game.
What was the moment for you when you realized that this year would be different?
I think that at practice at University of Indiana tournament. I think that's when, you know, like, I mean, we
got to, not in a match, in practice.
In practice, okay. Yes. You know, like, and we do a lot of ball control drills, a lot of 3-on-3 drills. And, you know, like, I mean, we're kind of like filling the facilities over at Bloomington, Indiana. And, you know, like, we're having a 3-on-3 waves. And, you know, like, I mean, I'm looking at the team and I'm like, wow, this looks like a really high level Division I team. You know, like, and that's when it all clicked for us. And then I told the kids right away, I mean, this is the best 3-on-3 that I've seen you guys play in the last year. And, you know, like, I mean, obviously it's showing now, like, that the hard work that you guys are putting in paid off. And, you know, like, I mean, we're going to have a pretty good season if we just can get it mentally together and we're confident. And obviously, you know, like, I mean, we've had to play a really tough Ole Miss team, you know, like, and from there, we just took off from that tournament.
And you beat Indiana, which was obviously, to beat any Big Ten team is notable. And you guys swept them. And a big reason why was Yanlis Feliz. And she was a huge key to your success all season. I mean, I got to see firsthand doing the broadcasts and watching in practice, the thunder, the panache, like, just the amazing flair that she plays with. Take me behind the curtain a little bit, Coach, because you coached her in her first college season, which was at the JUCO level in Kansas, and then last year and this year at Chicago State. What's something about Yanlis Feliz that someone watching a game doesn't see?
Well, this wasn't her true position when we recruited her first. You know, she was an opposite player, and that's how she competed in her freshman season at Seward. And, you know, like, we decided to switch positions, make her we thought that she's going to be more effective at the left side, at the L1 position next to the setter. And it came with a lot more responsibility for her. I mean, when she was playing right side, she didn't have to worry about a whole lot about serve receiving and you know, like, certain other responsibilities that you do have, like, as a true left side, you know, like, and here with us, at Chicago State, you know, like, it was a completely different position for her and a difficult adjustment, you know, like, I mean, now you have to carry along with being a captain on the team, serve receiving responsibilities, you know, like, I mean, some coverage and passing, defensive assignments that you normally don't have when you're at the opposite position. So, you know, like, people probably don't realize how difficult that transition it is for a player. And, you know, like, it helped that we had a shortened spring season, that we had an opportunity to work with it without being overloaded. And, you know, like, I mean, and she learned a lot during her first season in the spring of 21, and then continue improving to get to an All-American level.
For someone who might not know the difference between a right side hitter and an outside hitter. What's the biggest adjustment Yan Li's had to make in that transition?
Serve receive. I mean, you know, like the kid's never serve receive in her life.
Which I'll note is the key to volleyball is what I've learned from you. And I'm really grateful to you for taking me along as sort of an amateur volleyball broadcaster and teaching me the sport to turn into a pro. I learned that serve receive is everything. So for those listening at home, I mean, this guy, this coach here, he loves serve receive, and there's a lot of trust with Yan Li's.
Yeah, I mean, at any level of our game, it always comes down to serve and pass. You know, I mean, if you serve aggressively, you take the other team out of system. You're forcing them to do some things that they're not used to. And then if you're receiving well, you're keeping all your offensive options open. It's more difficult for the opponent to guess what you're going to do offensively, and creates a lot of one-on-one situations. And sometimes the best case scenario, zero-on-one situation, that are really, really crucial to the sport of volleyball, you know, like, I mean, and especially now with the rally scoring, it's really, 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 you know, like the most important component of our game.
What's Yan Li's like off the court?
Bundle of joy in life, you know, like, I mean, very, very happy kid. Overall, you know, like a great teammate and a great kid to be around.
Coach, you had an opportunity to watch her grow from, hey, she's a really good player in the WAC, to, hey, she's the WAC player of the year, to, hey, she's all region, to, hey, she's all American. I got to break the news to you and hear your joy and how proud you were. Then you got to break the news to her and hear her joy. What does that mean to you that she became an All-American?
Well, it's more importantly, what does it mean to her and what it means to this program? You know, like to me, I mean, it's a great accomplishment for one of our players that we're coaching, and we're hoping that, you know, like as many kids as can have that accomplishment and achievement as we coach. I mean, I wish that every coach, I mean, every kid that we coach is an All-American. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And, you know, like, I mean, I couldn't be any happier for Yan Li's. And the best part about it is she's not done. She still has 2 years of eligibility.
That's scary.
And more importantly, she's still improving. I mean, she's still getting more comfortable with her position. She's getting better physically. She's getting more experience. So, you know, like, I mean, I'm looking forward to see what she will be in her senior season.
Coach, looking at the team, because you're the coach of the team, you're not just the coach of Yan Li's. Who surprised you the most this year in how well they played?
Let me think about this for a second. I don't think it was one player. I think that everyone improved consistently and probably at an equal pace. I think Ezgi Dokuzlar kind of came along. It was a little bit disappointing in the beginning of the season, because, you know, obviously with COVID, you know, like, I mean, some players that were not in college were taking a little bit more time off than it should from training and everything else. So to see her coming along towards the end of the season, it was pretty good. I think Messalina had a great season, battled through a lot of adversity, you know, like had a never quit attitude. I think that our libero, Andrea Calderon, improved a lot compared to like the spring season that she had, like with a lot more confidence, better serve receive, picked up a lot of balls in defense, and became a little bit of an emotional leader as well. And then, you know, Berenice obviously had another steady year. You know, I mean, it was Jen Lise, you know, like was
who's that?
Always the player to rely on offensively, and then put the team on her shoulders, plenty of matches, and carry us through all those difficult moments. And, you know, like a complete team effort. I mean, I don't want to leave anybody out. So, you know, like I would say every kid on the team did their part.
Coach, what did you learn this year in watching your team grow and blend together about that aspect? Blending. That, to me, is the most intriguing part of this roster and this team, is seven different countries. You're from Bulgaria. Your wife, Mariella, assistant coach, she's from Peru. And then you've got tons of countries represented on the roster, from Latin America to Europe. What's that like to watch those cultures blend?
Well, it's always challenging, first of all. You know, like, I mean, people don't realize how difficult this is. I mean, it's challenging enough just to have like a team full of players that come from the same background and the same cultures, the same language, the same family values, you know, like, and to put a team together. So, you know, like, it's difficult enough. So to put a team together with like a world, all around the world talent, and, you know, like, I mean, different cultures, language barriers, you know, like, it's extremely difficult. So I'm proud of the work that the kids put throughout the season to, you know, like, and of our coaching staff to educate them on like what this is all about, what the other players are going through, you know, coming from places that are like unfamiliar to certain kids, you know, like, I mean, having a different coaching styles and you know, like in their lives, you know, like, I mean, all blend together with like a multinational, multicultural group. It's really, really like a great testament to the hard work that the kids put, and then our coaches as well, helping them get through the difficult process of gelling.
You mentioned the coaches. What's this coaching staff like to work with?
I think that we all complement each other's weaknesses, you know, like, I mean, and obviously I've been with Mariela for quite a while, you know, like, Nikita was like really great at certain aspects, you know, like of the organizational part and the travel, you know, like, I mean, the nutrition and you know, like, kind of like the psychological part. The same thing with Matt. Matt was a great addition to our staff this season. And, you know, like, he's a little bit closer to age with a lot of the players, so he can relate a little bit better to some of those kids. And, you know, like, I mean, he did a great job in the technical aspect of the game and scouting and video sessions, you know, and then in the training aspect as well, was able to step in and participate in some of the practices as a practice player as well. So, you know, like, I mean, I think that we utilize our staff to the maximum of their potential.
Yeah, you mentioned Matt Breitbarth as a practice player. Oh, I mean, he really was still in pretty good shape from his playing days at Illinois. I mean, I'd watch him flying all over the lefty. Yeah. I mean, he was a warrior out there. That must have helped a great deal. I mean, I got to interact with a lot this season as a first time member of the coaching staff. I could tell he was pulling a lot of weight.
He did. And, you know, like, I mean, he turned out to be the Matt of all trades for us.
Jack, right.
And then, you know, like, having a lefty, you know, like in certain roles, especially since we played a lot of teams this year that have left-handed players as opposite and players and you know, like, I mean, having them go through simulations of like what they would do in practices against our starting six, it was tremendous asset in order for us to prepare for some of those teams. And, you know, I think that Matt turned out to be like very, very valuable. We're looking forward to having him, you know, like, be an important part of the program in the future. And, you know, like, we got to hit the ground running now in recruiting. So, you know, like, I mean, he is from Chicago, obviously. We need to go ahead and, you know, he has good connections with some of the local clubs, and we'll go and, you know, like, after the holidays, watch some club practices, talk to some coaches, and try to get some kids here from the area, you know, like, that is going to help our community involvement, our increase our attendance, hopefully, and, you know, like, help the program move in the direction that we want it to be. Obviously, coming from the Final Four and being some programs that, you know, played against some teams that draw tremendous crowds, it's a great feeling to play in front of a lot of home fans. And obviously this would be a goal of ours of increase that attendance. I mean, national championship at Columbus, Ohio, 18,755 spectators. What a great testament for our game and the way that has evolved. And then like the opportunities that presents to these young women to be, to have that type of a celebrity status, playing of that many in front of that many people and showcasing their talent and you know, like, be successful in life. I mean, this is no greater feeling than that.
18,000. That was a record. You were one of them. What was something you took note from in watching the Final Four and then watching two programs, one of which you beat when you were at Florida A&M, Nebraska battle in the national championship game?
Two of them, actually. You know, like we beat Louisville as well.
Right. Well, one in the national championship.
Right, one in the national final four. Yeah, like, and we lost, unfortunately, against Wisconsin. I think it was like 6 or 7 years ago. We played them in a tournament at Colorado State. It went four sets. But yeah, it was a great feeling. I mean, to see those guys coach and compete at that level. You know, like it's incredible atmosphere. And then, you know, like, I mean, like I said before, having that many spectators cheering you on, you know, like, is great. But more importantly, it's becoming a show and an entertainment. And this is what collegiate sports is, you know, like that's a part of it. I think it's ran now like the nation leagues and, you know, like, I mean, some of the international competitions, the DJs are more and more involved. The crowd is more interacting with each other. I mean, we did the waves, the cheers and everything else. So it's the entertainment part of our game. And for the spectators is one stood out to me at this Final Four.
What do you think you can improve on the most coming into next season? You mentioned learning some things over at the Final Four. Of course, it didn't go completely as planned, right? You lost in the first round of the WAC tournament. You weren't able to make it to the NCAA tournament, which I know is the goal for you. So what's got to change? What's got to get better?
Well, it's always, I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, like, right. and to go from, especially in a program that didn't have success, even though in the past, any, you know, like to that level, I mean, to come in and to expect to go to a Sweet 16, obviously it's not going to be that realistic. There's always going to be that stigma looming over you that program has not been successful. And until gradually you experience some success, you know, like, I mean, probably you're going to have some games that you're going to feel a little bit, you know, like inferior to the opponent. And, you know, like you're not going to be able to perform at that level. So, you know, like postseason experience is a tremendous asset to a team that is moving to become a perennial contender for titles. And we did this season, you know, like, I mean, we went as the number three seed in the WAC tournament. We went to postseason to the NIVC as well. So we had both postseason conference experience and then postseason NCAA tournament experience as well in the NIVC. And most importantly, we're able to host first and second rounds. So now that confidence and that belief, it hopefully would be instilled in the players' minds, and they'll be hungrier next season to go and accomplish even better things. So it's a process. It's always a process. I mean, as cliche as this may sound, you know, like sometimes it's about, and all most times than not is about the journey and not the destination. So, you know, like, I mean, we're actually not slowly getting there. We're like getting there with a rapid pace. So, you know, like, I mean, hopefully we'll be able to sustain that moving forward.
Coach, I look forward to being on the ride with you. Always appreciate you. I learn a lot just from watching you at practice and pregame. And this was a fun season to be a part of. So can't wait for year three.
Go Cougars.
Go Cougars. That's how he always ends our interviews. I mean, I think you've got like I want to say 97% hit rate. There was one time you didn't do it, and then I told you the next day, and then you haven't missed it since. So
that's right, Sam.
So one more time before we
go Cougars.
Always great chatting with Coach Trifonov. He is joy, class, and expertise personified. Really a fun coach to watch. Now entering year three at Chicago State. Well, really year two, but season three, because as he's pointed out to me many times, that was pretty much two seasons in one. A spring season in 2021, and then a fall-winter season in 2021. So a lot more in store for the Cougars on the volleyball hardwood. And coming up in the next few months, basketball hardwood, tennis court, track and field, cross country, then we get into the spring season. You can sprinkle a little golf into it once the sunshine comes out. So We got a lot coming in the new year for Chicago State. And as always, I'm your host and producer, Sam Brief, saying go Cougars from Chicago. Happy holidays, happy new year, and I'll talk to you soon.